staying out here. Some of us. Buddy left. I didn't even get a chance to tease him a little bit. He came out here with a memory verse, and the memory verse was, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. I would like to take a moment and ask Brother Denny if you would please pray over the message. Amen. And typically, Pastor Carey, he teaches expositorily. Expositorily means you take a section of the Bible and you just teach through it line by line by line. You know, you can have references and go different ways. I tend to teach or preach. I teach expositorily and I preach topically. It means I choose a topic and go with it. This topic I've had kicking around in my head for about 6 weeks, so it's had a little bit of time to mature a little bit. Something new is the title of the message, Something New. And if you have something banging around in your heart for 6 weeks, it gives you a lot of time to, you know, get different angles on it. And I'll try to be brief. I'm not very good at that, but I'll try. You've ever heard the phrase something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue? A sixpence in your shoe. I didn't know that was part of the thing. It's a poem. I've heard the marriage thing, you know. So like the story of that, it came from old English times. They were all superstitions. They were to ward off the evil spirits of barrenness from a young woman. So she would wear the undergarments of a woman who'd already given child and all these different things. But so it was something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, and a sixpence in your shoe. I have no idea how that keeps the you know, barren spirit away from you, but a sixpence in your shoe, it'll probably be very uncomfortable, I can imagine. Huh? And then wedding gowns probably aren't very comfortable. I've never worn one. I don't know for sure. I can imagine that they're probably not very comfortable. Speaking of weddings, there's an old tradition, the groom stands on the right. Here. So the bride would be over there. Does anybody know why that is? Because if her family broke in and was going to fight him, he had to be able to draw his sword and fight him off. Vinny has objection to this thing. Protection, right. They had to have free access to their sword. Wow, that's kind of cool. I didn't know that either. I did know this one. In the Marine Corps, if you're walking with your spouse walks on your left side. Does anybody know why? Because if you see somebody with whom or to whom you should render military honors, and you slap your arm like that, you might knock your spouse out with your elbow. It's kind of in the same thing. It's a right hand, you know, military salutes. They would do this because they were showing that their dominant hand had no weapon in it, so they meant you no harm. So they would greet each other, and they would do that. You know, most Europeans still do that. The Americans and the British forces no longer do that because at one time, the Queen of England was inspecting one of the tall ships, you know, one of those things, they're all varnished and polished and all that stuff. Well, this Marine greeted the Queen of England at the gangplank. He had like oil all over the palm of his glove. And so the Queen of England reached up and turned his hand down so that nobody could see the oil on his white glove. And that's why they salute like that now, which I think is kind of a neat thing. You know. Just don't walk to the right of a Marine in uniform. I pop up and knock you out or something. So I've been thinking a lot about this, and you know, it kind of was banging around in my head. And you know, there's a passage in Ecclesiastes 1:9 in the King James Version. It reads, "The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." Every generation believes that they have a cornerstone on what's hip and cool, and they use words like hip and cool, and in 10 years, people are going to say, "You said that's what? You got a hip? That's kind of lame. It's fly, it's dope, it's deaf. I grew up in the 80s. It's fat. P-H-A-T, fat. Okay, I can understand that one a little bit. But you know what? There is a biblical account for things that are new. Snowflakes aren't new. Snowflakes have been around as long as water has fallen out of the sky. Did you know that every snowflake that's ever fallen is a unique, magnificent, individual creation that bears only a slight resemblance, they're all perfectly symmetrical, to every other snowflake that's ever fallen? I heard there's a song now that's like the top of the charts, Snowflakes. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. And I kind of was thinking about this, and I've used this analogy before, but I went back and it was kind of gnawing on my heart, so to speak. And you know what the difference is between a wolf and a dog is? I mean, you're going to get an image. One's wild, one's tame, yeah. I get an image of a wolf and they've got those glowing yellow eyes and they're looking at you like they're deciding if you're white meat or dark meat and you might be good with ketchup. That's what I think of when I think of a wolf. They got those fangs. Those fangs are pretty big things. So I'm going to walk down a path here, and if you'll follow along, there's very little physical difference between dogs and wolves. 99% of their DNA, their genetic makeup, is identical. But there are some very profound differences between wolves and dogs. Wolves have longer feet. They have bigger feet, and the toes are longer. And because of that, they can lope really efficiently, and they can leap really incredible distances. Their jaws typically tend to be stronger, and their teeth are harder than dogs. I think that's kind of cool. Did you know that there's no biological difference between sinners and saints? Sinners being people who have not yet met Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. A sinner is different from a saint because saints don't sin. Well, saints do sin. They can sin. But the difference, we'll get to that in a moment, I suppose. There's a difference between a sinner and a saint like there is between a wolf and a dog. And we're going to get into that just a little bit. Yes, please, Nathan, just a little bit, just a little bit. So one of the big differences between wolves and dogs is wolves are independent creatures. Dogs, essentially without human beings, will die. Yeah, you've seen feral dogs and you've seen, but essentially, if a dog can't get to where they can eat the scraps from a human's table, they are no longer capable of self-sufficiency in the wild. They will die. Unless they join a wolf pack and can meld into the wolf pack. That does happen occasionally. But generally, a dog that's left without the care of humans will die. It can't survive on its own. Why? Genetically, they're really no different from wolves. What has happened to dogs that they're so dependent now on people? Wolves will tire easily of a human being trying to train them. How do you train a dog? You rub its nose in it, throw it outside. No. Typically, you give it a treat. Here, puppy, come on. Get it to sit, speak, roll over, play dead, whatever. But it's all about a treat, a reward, giving them something to eat. A wolf will look at a person with a treat for about 5 seconds and go, I'm gonna find my own food. I ain't got time for you. What are you talking to me like I'm a child? Come on, boy, come on, come on. They just look at you like, done with that. I got other places to be. In Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. There's a difference between a sinner and a saint. Sinner goes, oh, woe is me. You can't do anything right. Oh, can't do it. The saint goes, I will lift up my eyes because there is a God in heaven that made the heavens and the earth, and through him I can do all things. Big difference. A big difference. Even though Nathan, the boy who asked Jesus into his heart, is still the same physical, corporal body that was later. You know, I prayed for salvation. I ended up baptized. I got baptized in the Mad River against my will because I was in a Baptist church. And if you get saved, you got to be baptized or you can't go to heaven. That's not true. But I got kind of baptized against my will. And so when I was an adult and I started going to church on my own, you know, not because I was drugged there, I got baptized in the East China Sea. I was in Okinawa, Japan at the time. And I've been baptized, you know, all the things. But guess what? This body is still the same, you know. I don't have a different history. The Nathan that is saved and regenerated remembers the Nathan that wasn't saved and regenerated. And Nathan has all the same weaknesses, frailties, desires. Did you know it's not natural for Nathan to be preaching on Sunday morning? Not natural. It is about as unnatural as it could possibly be. Nathan would rather be doing something that's pleasant for Nathan's flesh. Eating a double-double. Or a triple-double. Or a whole pizza. I know you can't imagine me doing that, but I have been known occasionally to indulge myself. I just, you know. But we're talking about the difference between wolves and dogs. Did you know that wolves mature faster than dogs? I didn't know that. I read this study. Wolves become independent quickly. And you can imagine why. If they don't, they're not going to survive. Dogs remain puppies until they're about 2 years old. They're not really fully formed, mature, adult doggies. Even though they're sexually mature younger, they're not real as adult as they would be. So, like wolves, up to about the age of two, still engage in play, right? Dogs will play with you for the rest of their lives. That's the way dogs relate to the world, you know? You've ever seen dogs greet people? And they look at you like, play? Are we going to play? Oh, we're going to play. And this dog is barely old enough, I mean, barely able to stand up. And it's still sitting there and it's is baiting on stuff and, you know, knocking things off the table if it's tall enough. And you're like, wow, this dog really wants to play with me. But there's a difference between the way that they mature and the way that they don't. See, because wolves learn very quickly that they have to become self-sufficient. If they do not, they will not survive. So they tend to mature very fast. Dogs, you're lucky to potty train them and get them to stop chewing on things before they're 2 years old. Not saying that's ever happened in our house, but I'm just saying. It could have possibly happened one time. Genesis 32, 24 through 25, and verse 30. I'm going to skip a little bit. I'm going to get you all of the time. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw they prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. This is the man, touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And this here is from the passage where Jacob, being a man, did some pretty tricksy things. Jacob, the word Jacob actually means trickster. He was all of his life scheming. He was trying to get something that he was not actually entitled to. It says that when he was born, his brother Esau came out first, and Jacob had a hold of his heel. Like, you don't get out of here before me. You can't be the firstborn. But he did. And then Jacob did all kinds of things. He stole his brother's birthright and all this stuff. Eventually, Jacob fled from Esau because he was afraid that his older, stronger, bigger brother was going to kill him. He went way far away, and now he's coming back generations later. He's got all of his children, his grandchildren. And as he's getting close to where Esau is, he sends out his children, you know, women and children first. But he sends his women and children out there in front of him with gifts and all kinds of things like, you go see my brother Esau. And you tell them, I'm different. I'm changed. I mean him no harm. Please don't hurt me. And as they're getting closer and closer and he's run out of cards to play, Jacob is still very troubled because he's sure that his brother Esau was still mad at him decades later. And so he goes alone and he struggles with this appearance. And he struggles with this appearance all night long. And when the entity with whom Jacob was struggling, wrestling, realized that Jacob wouldn't quit, he touched him in the hollow of his thigh, and his thigh was out of joint. For the rest of his life, he walked a little different, didn't he? Had a little hitch in his step. But it wasn't just that. That was when Jacob became Israel. Jacob means trickster. Israel means Prince of God. Prince of God. And Israel, who used to be Jacob, named that place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So Jacob had no rest. Jacob had no peace. Jacob did everything physically possible, everything that he could imagine to try to assuage the anger of his brother. And when he had no other options left, what did he do? He sought God. And when God appeared to him, God, please help me. God, please. Esau's going to get me. He's going to skin me. He's going to hang me up on the wall. He's going to put my head on a trophy. And he was really concerned. And he wouldn't allow God to leave without blessing him. And eventually God said, you know, I'm never going to break Jacob's will, so I'll just touch him in the thigh. Poof, popped out of joint. But then he said, I'm going to give you exactly what you want. At that moment, Jacob, who was very crafty, very knowledgeable, very self-sufficient, went from being a wolf to being a dog. Big difference between wolves and dogs is wolves are independent. Dogs look to their master for sustenance. And that's exactly what Jacob did. Jacob said, you know what? I've done everything I know to do and I still ain't going to get it done. I need help. I have seen God and my life is preserved. Oh, you can preach on that, Nathan. Oh, yes, I'm going to. I have seen God and my life is preserved. This kind of brings us to an interesting point. You know that wolves and dogs breed differently? Now, Nathan, I've seen the documentaries. I'm pretty sure that they procreate in about the exact same fashion. No, they don't. Did you know that wolves only procreate during a couple of weeks in the springtime? They won't any other time. You know, dogs will procreate anytime the need strikes them. There's an opportunity. They're gonna procreate. Did you know that dogs typically have no relation or input with the male half of the equation? Typically, the mother weans them about 8 weeks later and they're off, but they probably were never around any kind of male canine influence during that time. Their influence is humans. So when you see dogs that are unmanageable, it's because their humans have failed them. It's true. Pit bulls aren't bad. Pit bulls are bad. If they want to hurt you, they can. There's not a whole lot you could do to stop them. Why don't pit bulls just run around rampaging hurting people? Because most pit bulls have responsible owners who have trained them and have mentored them and have made them part of the family unit. Wolves, on the other hand, they procreate once, one specific time during the year, and in a few short months, they have, by trial and error and mentorship, learned the ways of the pack. They hunt correctly. They behave correctly. They do what is necessary for the pack to survive. And guess who the alpha is? Well, there's alpha male and alpha female. I know. But wolves are never raised independently of the other gender, ever. It's not natural. And the natural outcome is that wolves are far more self-sufficient. They are more aggressive. They are more able to overcome obstacles and difficulties. Why is that important, Nathan? 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You remember on 9/11 we learned the phrase infidel in a whole new way? Death to the infidels, all that good stuff. I am an infidel. I have no faith in the Islamic teaching. Zero. Guess what? By my recollection, they're infidels too, because they don't believe the way I believe. Infidel means without faith. Marine Corps term, semper fidelis, means ever faithful. Without faith. An infidel. And under the intifada, or the holy war, or the jihad, those people are not worthy of life because they don't believe the way that you believe that they should believe. Therefore, you should kill them. That's not the way that my Bible tells me to be. I really can't imagine killing somebody in the name of Jesus. I have a hard time with that. Really do. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And if a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, happy Father's Day, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Did you know there's a big difference between a Christian and a sinner? An unrepentant sinner? Yes, Christians can sin. Christians do sin. There's a big difference, though. Because there's a difference, a change of heart, a change of spirit, a change of motivating factor. You ever seen the wind before? Anybody ever seen the wind? Everyone's like, no, I ain't buying on that. You know, you can't see the wind. You can see the effects of the wind. You can see things carried on the wind. But you can't actually see the wind. It's invisible. You can see leaves swirling in the wind. When I was in seminary, we had a class called pneumatology. And the root word of that is study of air. But it's about the spirit. Pneumatology, you can't see the spirit. You can't see air. But if you have a pneumatic tool, i.e. a jackhammer, 90-pound jackhammer, and you just push a little thing, it goes, and you can break concrete and all kinds of cool stuff. But if you get it stuck and you yank on it and it pops up and lands on your toe, it really hurts. Don't ask me how I know that. Just trust me, you don't want to do that. Pneumatic tools have a lot of power. The spirit has a lot of power. You can't see the spirit. Oh, yes, I've seen the spirit. I saw it tattooed on somebody's shoulder. It said, I have the Holy Spirit right there. See? Spirit's visible. No, not really. You can put a Holy Spirit bumper sticker on your VW bug. It don't make it a Camaro. It's still a VW bug with a Holy Spirit bumper sticker on there. So how do you know somebody has the Holy Spirit? Well, they walk funny, they talk funny, they act differently. They do. They do. I hate to say it, but it's exactly true. And my brother was talking about it this morning. He was talking about the destruction of America's culture and fiber and, you know, unity and all that. You know, family structure matters. One of the primary differences between wolves and dogs is the way that they're raised. A dog is fully dependent upon a human family to teach it how to behave. Wolves naturally learn to survive by watching the elders of their pack, their family unit, and they learn how to be wolves. Every single pack of wolves has its own method of hunting. They do things a specific way because that's what works best. It depends on whether they're eating caribou or elk or rats or whatever it is that they eat. They have to have a method to hunt in a unified way that gets them the food that keeps them alive. A wolf that hasn't been trained how to hunt will die. Family structure matters, not just for dogs and wolves. Play means different things. I mentioned this a little bit. I got ahead of myself. Jumped that shark. You know, dogs play all their lives. They play with humans. They play with other species. We have a dog at home named Isis. We didn't name her Isis. We adopted her from the pound. And she's, what, 80 pounds, hon? An 80-pound pit bull. She's terrified of little dogs. Serious. Like, if you've got her thing and there's a regular-sized dog, she'll be like, oh, I want to play. Can I go play with this dog? And if there's a little dog on the other side of the street and the little dog's going, the dog is like, what's wrong with that? I'm going to stay away from that. I've never known a dog in my life that wouldn't chase a cat. Serious. Isis sees a cat. She looks at it the most longing way, like, could we be friends? I would really like to take you home and pet you and love you and call you George. My wife's actually said we should get our dog a cat to play with, you know, because she would probably just love it to pieces. Never known a dog that wasn't, like, you know, anti-cat. Our dog likes cats. Like, can I please have one? Can I take it home? Gonna take her to the pet store. She sees the kitties. He's like, oh, look, kittens. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, don't lose your day job, Nathan. Oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. What's the difference between a sinner and a saint? You do different things. I kind of alluded to that. I could throw down on a double-double right now, but instead I'm in church. My stomach is saying, give me a double-double. My spirit is saying, you're going to enjoy this, you're going to have fun, and you're going to talk about Jesus. Praise God. Sinners and saints think differently. They're motivated differently. They do different things for fun. You know, as an unrepentant or even, okay, I'll go do you one better. You can be a Christian and you start avoiding church for a reason. You know there's something you got to get right. Oh my goodness. I don't really want to go to church. Because you know that preacher, he's been following me on Instagram and Facebook and he knows everything about me and he's going to go right down my, you know, I can't do it. I'm going. Sometimes you get a little over-exuberant and knock your piece off. Christians behave differently. Like dogs and wolves are different. Christians and sinners are different. I learned early when I was in the Marine Corps, and I stopped drinking really in the sense of drinking to get drunk. I stopped drinking before I was legally able to drink. Yeah, all right. So I grew up in a Baptist household where there was a lot of unforgivable, unpardonable sins. And one of them, In the Baptist church where I grew up, you got saved one time and you were saved forever, unconditional, eternal security, which meant that you could do pretty much whatever you wanted to, right? But guess what? There's one thing you couldn't do. Drink. If you drank alcohol, that was... you have lost your salvation. They wouldn't have said it explicitly, but there was kind of the implication, you know. There's a lot just about anything you could do, but don't drink. That's bad stuff. But I learned pretty early that, you know, if you have to drink for something to be fun, it isn't fun. You might as well find something to do that's actually fun to do and not waste your time, energy, or money drinking. Why would you do that? No, the Bible, it does not a sin to drink in the Bible, but the Bible does definitely, absolutely, positively, undeniably say that to drink, to get drunk, drunkenness is a sin. If you're drinking near beer thinking that you're going to get drunk from it, guess what? You're sinning because the intent was, I'm going to drink this near beer and I'm going to get sloshed. And then I'm going to do whatever I wanted to do in the first place anyway, but I'm going to blame it on the near beer. Except there's no alcohol in it. The sin isn't in the substance. The sin is how you abuse the substance. Okay, Nathan, you got off track. Okay. Dog nutrition versus wolf nutrition. Did you know that dogs are omnivores? What does that mean? Whatever you eat, they will eat. And I love our dog, Isis. I never seen a dog will eat just about anything. You're eating pickles or vegetables or whatever, and she's like, if you're not feeding her constantly, you're going to have to go over there and wipe up a puddle of drool the size of a dinner plate. And you're thinking, does she really want some carrots or something? Oh, yeah. She wants whatever it is that you're eating. I remember we had a dog for 17 years, and I just had a lark. She was begging, and I threw a pickle. And she like, what is that? Why did you put that in my mouth? So I've got Isis, and I'm thinking she's drooling. I'm like, I'm going to give her a pickle. Tossed her. Can I have another? I was like, wow. She really will eat anything I will. Wow. Did you know that wolves are carnivores? Wolves exclusively eat meat. Did you know that dogs can't exclusively eat raw meat? It will kill them. They don't have the wherewithal to withstand the bacteria and all the things that are in natural, uncooked meat. So your dog really does want a double-double. They don't want a raw hamburger. Yeah, they'll eat a little bit of raw hamburger, but if you fed them a constant diet of raw hamburger, it would kill them. It would. Did you know that wolves can't eat a kibble? You feed wolves kibble, it will give them the runs, because their body ain't set up to eat all that stuff. They only eat meat. Nutrition. Talking about diet. Yes, Nathan, you need one. Okay, whatever. You are what you eat. That's true. Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that a man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth a man live. Jesus quoted this when the adversary came to him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. You know, you can't live by food alone. You can go hungry for a while. Nathan, you can go hungry a lot longer than some of us. Yes, that's true. But you know that you can eat food all of your life, good healthy food, not like double-doubles and stuff, and you'll still die. Did you know the mortality rate of life is 100%? Everyone's all wigged out about the coronavirus. It has a mortality rate of like 0.0003 or something like that. People died of the coronavirus, yes. A whole lot more people died of other things. Car accidents and stuff like that. We remade our society over the fear. Guess what? Whether or not you get the coronavirus, no matter how well you eat. So may as well have a double-double. Extra large pepperoni pizza. All to yourself. Praise God. Fat of the land is the Lord. That's in the Bible. That is in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The difference between a Christian who's on the word and a Christian who's off the word is that a Christian that's off the word is suffering from withdrawal symptoms. What are withdrawal symptoms from the Word of God? Weakness, depression, apathy, self-loathing. Ooh, that sounds like some other withdrawal symptoms I've heard of. Very same. A Christian's dietary needs have changed. They need the Word of God to maintain their Christian nature. And without the Word of God, guess what? They're going to become more and more wolfish. They're going to revert back to that natural state where they have to survive by being wolves. In sheep's clothing. That's true. That's in the Bible too. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Come to church, smile, shake your hand. Good to see you, brother. Devour that person as soon as they get a chance. Because wolves eat sheep. Sheep is tasty to wolves. You don't want to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. You got to make sure that you maintain the nature of a sheep, not a wolf. Did you know that dogs guard sheep from wolves? They do. Hi. Why? Because they're not looking at the sheep going, dinner. They've been trained. Do not eat the sheep. Okay. As long as you play with me, I'm okay. That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's another big difference between wolves and dogs. Dogs are not shy with regards to people. Wolves are. You know, as hard as it is for a pack of wolves to bring down an elk, if they have, and a group of humans approaches, you know what the wolves do? They'll sit there and eat until the humans get close, and then they'll take off, and they will never come back. Why? Because their instinctive nature is, it's better to go get more food than to fight over the food we got. You ever try to take something from a dog after you give it? I got an 80-pound pit bull, and I'm pretty sure I wouldn't put my fingers anywhere near its food after I'd given it to it. She will sit there and drool a puddle on the floor, but once you give it to her, it's hers. Don't you try to get it back. Big difference between wolves and dogs. Did you know independent and self-sufficient animals still come to the same end? Ecclesiastes 3:19 says, "For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them, as one dieth, so dieth another. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity." You know, there's a difference in there between I am going to die one day, Terry's going to die one day, dogs are going to die one day, wolves are going to die one day. The difference between a wolf and a dog and a human is that a human has an eternal soul. How do you know that? The Bible told me so. You're going to live somewhere. Your choice. Where are you going to live? There's one outcome that's certain, you're going to die. Question is, are you going to live in this life and in the life to come? You know you don't have to wait as a Christian to die to live. The Bible says that if you are dead in your trespasses and sin, that means you don't even know what life is. You have no comprehension of what life is supposed to be. I remember when I got saved and all of a sudden it felt like I could float right into heaven, and it's like the heavens opened up and all of a sudden I felt less guilty, and all of a sudden I felt like God really loved me and there was a purpose for life instead of just doing what I wanted to do. That was miraculous. It was transformative. It made a difference in my life. I got up off that couch. I was at home. I asked my dad to pray with me because I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to go to heaven. I just didn't want to go to hell. But I got up off that couch, and I went to Blue Lake Elementary School, which is just down the street here. I went around to all my friends saying, "Guess what happened to me? I got saved!" And they looked at me like, "Jesus? Don't talk to me about Jesus. I don't want to talk about Jesus." Say it, don't spray it, man. There's a splash rose right here. So, sorry. Last thing I'm going to mention here is, you know, wolves are stronger problem solvers than dogs. I've always found this fascinating. In an experiment in which two ropes had to be pulled at the same time, so an animal over here, an animal over there, they have to pull the rope at the same time. They have to work together to get the treat. Wolves figure that out. Dogs never figure it out. They'll go back and forth pulling on the rope. When I get the treat? Eventually they get tired. They just sit down and look at the pastor like, "Okay, teach me how to get the treat." Because they're capable of getting the treat, but only with instruction. They don't think it out. They think, "Okay, this is too hard. Come on, how's it done? Show me the trick. Sleight of hand or something." I think it's kind of cool that they do that because they rely upon their master. As a Christian, as a spiritual dog, if you will, you should rely upon your master. You can wear yourself out running back and forth, pulling all the ropes of the world, and guess what? You ain't going to get a treat. "Oh, I got a treat." "How did that treat you?" "Not so good." Bible tells us the consequences of sin is you can indulge in sin, yeah. What's the consequences of it? So they took this same circumstance and they made it more difficult to get the treat. Guess what? Wolves still figured it out. Because in their nature, they were going to work together and get whatever they do whatever they had to learn to do to get the food. That's the nature of a wolf. Once again, dogs, they just walk in and look at that and go, I ain't even going to try. You're going to give me this treat or what? I know it's there. I can see the treat. You promised that I would get a treat. Am I going to get a treat or what? Let's play. So they did this after the wolves succeeded every time and the dogs failed every time. They mixed wolves and dogs. And the wolf would just sit there and look at the dogs running back and forth, pulling on the ropes. You guys are stupid. What is wrong with you? They didn't even try. And then they would introduce another wolf. And immediately the wolves would ignore the dogs and go get the treat. Because they could figure it out. They knew the difference between a dog and a wolf. A dog would understand what they're going to... Okay, I'm going to get this one. You get that one. Let's get this treat. All right. But they wouldn't even try to do it with a dog. They had no way to communicate to that dog. And the dog had no way to understand what the wolf was trying to tell them. You pull that rope over there. Dogs don't speak wolf, and wolf don't speak dogs. It's a different language. They have a different way of interacting with each other. I think that's kind of interesting. Pardon me. Which brings me to a question. What's in the middle of pride? What's in the middle of sin? What's in the middle of self-sufficiency? I. What's in the middle of dependency? Others. I am dependent upon others. And our sister, she loves to say, Jesus, other, and yourself. That's the acronym JOY. To have joy as a Christian, you have to rely upon Jesus. You need to put others first and yourself last. And when you do that, the I isn't there anymore. Yes, the I can still rear its ugly head. Some have uglier heads than others. But did you know what? The true fulfilling life of a Christian, of a human being, is to put other people before yourself. Pretty remarkable. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. He hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Where is the pride of a Christian who thinks that they are deserving of Jesus' mercy? It is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. The faith to believe in Jesus Christ is the gift of God. When God sends his Holy Spirit to deal with your heart, to convince you that you are a sinner in need of salvation, that is God working on you. Did you know that Nathan can't do God's work? Oh, you're saying, preacher, you can't do God's work? No, you can't do God's work. Who can do God's work? God. Who can do Nathan's work? Nathan. I might ask for help. Still might work. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus, for good works, unto good works, which God hath afore ordained that we should walk in them. We stop being the wolves that we were, and we become dogs. A good dog is obedient. Did you know a good Christian is obedient? Yes, dear. Yes, that is true. I mean, but also you should be obedient to God. Did you know, I've heard this before, and I will never, ever, 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 ever change my mind about it. If two people are saved, they should be able to work it out. I'm not talking just about marriage relations, but yes, marriage relations. If two people are saved, I don't see how they can't get along. Because, you know, I've been a Christian for a while now, and if I get at odds with somebody, you know what God does? Hey, Nathan, you need to go apologize. Hey, Nathan. Nathan. Hey, Nathan, wake up. Hey, hey, get out of bed. You know, you really, really should go apologize. And you know, Nathan can fight it for a while. Eventually, Nathan's got to go. Okay, Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do it. It was all my fault. Please forgive me. It's not easy for Nathan to do. Nathan don't like doing that. I don't even like to admit that I was wrong. I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken about it. I was clearly right. Sinners and saints have different motivations, different natures, and different destinations. Did you know for all their differences, wolves and dogs are the same species? There's no difference. Canis lupus is one species. Wolves and dogs walk differently, talk differently, behave differently. Everything about them is different. They are the same creature as a dog. A dog is a wolf. Just like a Christian and a sinner are the same, the difference is a change in nature. The nature of a Christian is to please our God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. You mean you can't resurrect the old man? Oh, yes, you can. But it says old things are passed away. You know, there's a phrase, you know, somebody's passed away. It means they're no longer with us. Your old man is passed away. You can go out there and resurrect that dude, do all the satanic rites and rituals. Sister Greg just scowled at me like, what are you talking about, Nathan? If your old man is dead, let him sleep. Probably needs it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things. 99.99999% of things. All things have become new. It's a new walk. It's a new talk. It's a new life. It's a new experience. You used to be bound by all the things that you did. And all the things that were. A Christian is free because the past is past. Tomorrow is a new day. I set my eyes on Jesus. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward toward the mark, toward the high calling of Jesus Christ. Because as a sinner, you are bound by your past. As a Christian, you are unbound by your past. You can go and do stupid stuff like you did in the past, but you're also free to walk forward in Christ and do miraculous, incredible things that you never even imagined would be possible as a Christian. Because in Christ, I can do all things. All things. You can even lose weight. Not eat a double-double every time you please. You can do it. Testify, Nathan. I ain't going to testify about that. Because if I get a double-double, I'm going to eat it. Probably eat two. But you know, as much fun as I have preaching, the absolute positive sobriety and seriousness of it is that without Jesus Christ, you are lost. Without Jesus' word, without God's direction in your life, you are aimless. You are undone. You are a captive of the enemy, and guess what? Enemy will take you at will and cause you to do things that you never thought were possible. Just like God will help you to do things you never thought were possible. The flesh nature will take you places that you don't want to go. It'll cost you more than you wanted to pay. And it'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. So when you put that before people, you know, I'm going to give you a platter of all the good things of life and all of the horrible consequences of sin, you would think it's a no-brainer. Right? Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Brother Terry, if you would please close us in prayer.